الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson that we're having by the fadl and the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal. Reading from Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the Shaykh al-Imam al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Last week, we left off on the statement of the author where he mentioned about the different forms of worship which Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated to be performed by the servant. And we mentioned previously that the author rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, after mentioning the fact that only Allah deserves to be worshipped, and after mentioning the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, now the author has brought us to the uluhiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's taken from the Quran, because in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, verse after verse, surah after surah, Allah mentions his rububiyyah, and then he ends it with the uluhiyyah. And this was a direct response to the mushrikun of the Arab during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they believed in the rububiyyah of Allah azza wa jal, but they committed shirk in the uluhiyyah. So the author mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala anwa'ul ibadah allati amara Allah biha, and the different forms of worship which Allah azza wa jal has ordered. And we mentioned from the statement of Shaykh Abdul Aziz Raji Habib Allah Ta'ala that this is from the fadl of Allah, that this is from the merits of Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal shara'a lahum anwa'an 'adidatan min al-'ibadat yataqarrabuna biha ilayhi, that Allah legislated different forms of worship, various forms of worship that the servant can use to seek nearness to his Lord. والمرء لا يعلم بأيها يدخل الجنة مما أمر الله به, and the servant does not know which of those forms of worship would be a means for him entering into Jannah. And obviously, you have, like we mentioned last week, you have the that which is obligatory. Yani we mentioned last week that the amrs of Allah, the orders of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are divided into several categories. One is that you have that which Allah ta'ala has ordered, amr ijab, that which is obligatory, like the shahadatain, like the salat, like the zakat, like the hajj, like the siyam, those are obligatory. So that which the author, or that which Shaykh Abdul Aziz al-Raji Habib Allah ta'ala, when he says the servant does not know which one of them would be a means for him entering into Jannah, obviously after the obligations. Because if a person was to leave off the salat, but he was to make the hajj and give the zakat and fast Ramadan, which many people do, unfortunately. Many individuals who ascribe themselves to Islam, they don't pray, but they make hajj once in a lifetime, they fast the month of Ramadan, and they give charity. But those people will not enter into the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal, because they left off the what? They left off the salat. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ, what? When the angels will say to them, what has brought you into this abode? يعني the hellfire. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مَنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ, They said, we did not pray. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْأَحْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ, The covenant which is between them and us, is the salat. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Whoever leaves off the salat, he has disbelieved. So obviously, what the Shaykh is mentioning, Hafizullah Ta'ala, is that it's from the merits of Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah has legislated different forms of worship, and the servant does not know which one will be a means for him entering into Jannah after the obligations. And to further clarify that meaning, the servant does not know which one of them would be a means for him being elevated in Jannah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his Ijtima' al-Juyus al-Islamiyya, which is one of the books that he wrote against the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. Ibn Qayyim mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, من تنوعت أعماله المرضية المحبوبة له في هذا الدار في هذه الدار. الكلام ابن قيم عفواً الكلام ابن قيم رحمه الله تعالى is wonderful speech talking about the fact that Allah عز وجل talking about the fact that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has legislated different forms of worship. The fact that Allah عز وجل has legislated different forms of worship. And we're going to see how the Sahaba implemented this speech right here. Ibn Qayyim said, so whoever has a variety of actions which are pleasing and loved in this life, تَنَوَّعَتَ الْأَقْسَامَ الَّتِي يَتَلَذَّذْ بِهَا فِي تِلْكَ الدَّارِ. He will have a variety. Now notice, he said, whoever has a variety of actions which are pleasing, yani actions of worship. Whoever performs a variety of actions which are pleasing and loved in this life, he will have a variety of actions. Afwan, he will have a variety of pleasing rewards, delicious rewards in the next life. وَتَكَفَّرَتْ لَهُ بِحَسْبِ تَكَفُّرْ أَعْمَالِهِ هُنَا. And he will have more in accordance with how much more he did in this life. Now, so notice what Ibn Qayyim said. He said, if the individual has a variety, if the Muslim performs a variety of good deeds in this life, and taking it back to what Shaykh Abdulaziz al-Raji said, he said, this is from the merits of Allah. And walillahi alhamd, this, you know, shows you how the ulama of the past and the present, they bring light. You know, they bring light to the life of the believer. He said, this shows you the merits of Allah, that Allah has legislated. Yani the kalam of Shaykh Abdulaziz al-Raji, hafizahullah ta'ala, he said, this shows you the merits of Allah, how Allah has legislated a variety of deeds that the believer can perform. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, the more deeds, the various deeds that a believer does in this life, which are pleasing and loved, this will be a means of him having a variety of delicious rewards in the next life. And they will be multiplied. وَتَكَثَّرَتْ لَهُ بِحَسْبِ تَكَثُّرْ أَعْمَالِهِ هُنَا. And they would be multiplied in that life, based on his multiplication, based on his multitude in this life. So if you do, we'll stop there. And he mentions more. But if you do a variety of good deeds in this life, which are beloved to Allah, Allah is going to give you a variety of delicious rewards in the next life. And the more you do in this life, the more Allah is going to give you in the next life. So this is from the merit of Allah. The merit of Allah is that Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated many forms of good deeds. And when the believer embarks upon those good deeds, he will get many rewards. And the more you do the good deeds, the more rewards you get. And he even goes on to say, وَقَدْ جَعَلَ ابن قيم رحمه الله تعالى وَقَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْمَحْبُوبَ لَهُ وَالْمَصْخُوطَ أَثَرًا وَجَزَاءً وَلَذَّةً وَأَلَمًا. He said, and verily, Allah has made for every good deed you perform, and every evil deed that you perform, an effect, a reward, a pleasure, afwan. He says, an effect, you're affected by your bad deeds. A reward, you're rewarded for your good deeds. A bliss or a pleasure for your good deeds. And a pain and punishment for your bad deeds. Naam. So this was speech, and there's more speech, you know, that Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, but naam, we understand, you know, anwa' al-ibadat allati amara Allahu biha, and the different forms of worship that Allah has legislated. Yes, this is a ni'mah. This is a blessing of Allah, that Allah has legislated different forms of worship. Because the more that I have available to perform, the more that I can get, the closer I can get to my Lord. And likewise, their actions, also to shed some light on the blessing, their actions that some people can perform and other people can't. So the fact that Allah has legislated a variety of actions, you do that which you have the ability to do. To show you how the Sahaba implemented that, it took place that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned on a Thursday or a Monday, I can't recall which particular day, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, who from amongst you has fasted today? Who from amongst you has given charity today? Who from amongst you has visited a sick person today? Who from amongst you did this, did that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned several deeds. And the only companion that was able to raise his hand for all of those deeds was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was the type of individual Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated different forms of charity. I am going to embark upon all of them. And that shows you the manzila of Abu Bakr. That shows you the manzila of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he did not leave a path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated to seek nearness to Allah and his paradise, except that he implemented it. Now, so the author rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, so the different forms of worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, مثل الإسلام. Islam is الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد. Islam, the meaning of Islam, is that we submit to Allah with tawheed. والانقياد له بطاعة. And that we obey Allah, and that we follow Allah, or we submit to Allah through obedience. والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. And we disassociate ourselves from shirk and the people of shirk. Naam. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. We submit to Allah with tawheed. We obey Allah Azza wa Jal, and we abstain from shirk and the people of shirk. He said, مثل الإسلام والإيمان. Al-Iman is to believe with the heart, statement of the heart. Afwan, belief in the heart, statement of the tongue, and action of the limbs. That's the ta'rif of iman with the salaf, rahimahullah ta'ala. Wal ihsan. And ihsan, and ta'budullah ka'annaka tarahu. And all of these three things were mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, the famous hadith of Jibreel, when he approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the different forms of worship which Allah ta'ala has legislated, like Islam and iman and ihsan. Then he says, ومنه الدعاء والخوف والرجاء والتوكل والرغبة. الدعاء, supplicate. الخوف, fear. الرجاء, to put your trust. التوكل, to depend upon Allah عز وجل, to put your trust in Allah. والرغبة, to seek from Allah. والرحبة is similar to خوف. And we're going to explain all of these. We're going to explain all of these. So the author, he mentions supplication, he mentions fear, he mentions to put your trust in Allah and to depend upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Those are the four that we're going to explain in this particular lesson tonight, for idhnillah ta'ala. When it comes to that which the author said, he's going to mention different forms of worship. Now, are these all of the forms of worship? No, they are. First and foremost, one, it can be said that you have the worship of the heart, and you have the worship of the limbs. You have the worship of the heart, and you have the worship of the limbs. For example, and all of the categories, or all of the different forms that the author has mentioned here, they are divided in one of those categories. For example, dua. For example, dua. Dua, the ulama, they place it under the category of the heart, worship of the heart, and the worship of the limbs. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Wabil al-Sayyid, if I'm not mistaken, in his book Wabil al-Sayyid, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala placed al-du'a under the form of worship of the heart and of the limbs. The heart, why? Because the person who's supplicating, if he digs deep from his heart, Allah will answer the du'a. As Allah Ta'ala says, "Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya." Allah Ta'ala says, call your Lord tadarru'an, like you're calling him from the bottom of your heart and with fear. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala considered du'a to be from the form of worship which is from the heart and from the limbs. From the limbs, why? It's because it's from the tongue. It's from the tongue. And he goes on to mention a category. He said that the best of du'a is the du'a of the heart and of the tongue. Because you have individuals who supplicate with their tongues. You have individuals who supplicate with their tongues, but they don't have they don't dig deep into their hearts, so the supplication is not strong. And then you have the individuals who supplicate with the heart and the tongue, and this is the strongest of supplication. And we mentioned this previously in a lesson years ago when we were studying the book of Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muslim al-Abbad, Fiqh al-Adiyah wal-Azkar, the fiqh of supplication and remembrance. In that book, he mentions the kalam of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Yeah. So, al-du'a is from the categories of, we said, the worship, and, you know, we mentioned this last week, that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that worship is a comprehensive statement which comprises everything which is loved by Allah, from statements and actions, that which is hidden and that which is apparent. Everything which is loved by Allah, from statements and actions, that which is hidden and from that which is apparent. So dua, we mentioned that, afwan, and then we said ibadat are two. We said ibadat of the heart and ibadat of the limbs. Dua falls under the heart and under the limb. Al-khawf, fear. Fear. Fear is an ibadah which is of the heart. It's an ibadah of the heart. Al-raja, hoping from Allah. To hope from Allah, that's an ibadah of the heart. Although keep in mind, even though it's an ibadah of the heart, it comes out on the limbs in an action. It comes out on the limbs in an action. But once the action comes out, the action of raja, it's not necessarily the action of hope. The hope is within the heart. The action that comes out is that you possibly, a'udhu billah, as we're going to mention later on, you possibly prostrate to an individual, hoping. Now you go to the grave. You go to the grave and you prostrate to the grave, hoping that the individual in the grave will assist you. So the raja, which is the hope, is in the heart. But that which is in the heart has come out on the limbs. And that has led to the worship of the grave, which is the sujood or the dua. And that's why, one of the reasons why the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, such as Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab, rahimahullah ta'ala, they mention these forms of worship in their books to show you. To show you, because the people, they say, we don't worship other than Allah, we don't do this, we don't do that, but no. You do worship other than Allah. You do call on other than Allah. And not only is the action itself a form of worship, but even that which is present in your heart, not only is the action itself considered shirk, but even that which is present in your heart is considered shirk. Because you have this hope from the dead person. You have this hope from this stone or this rock. You know, you have this hope in it, and this hope is bringing about worship, which is bringing about shirk. So the first thing he mentions is dua. And with regards to the affair of dua, the author mentions later on, he says, the hadith or the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَمَنْ يَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ وَلَا تَرَفَّسٍ, and whoever calls on other than Allah another deity. Likewise, the statement of Allah, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, and verily the masajid, the places of worship, they are for Allah, so don't supplicate to other than Allah. And one of the reasons why he mentioned dua, is because the ibadat al-kubur, or the ibad al-kubur, the people that worship the graves, the people that worship the saints, the people that worship this and that, most of the people that fall into shirk, but claim to be Muslim, they fall into shirk by way of dua. You don't have the numbers who make tawaf and prostrate and the likes of that. You don't have those numbers because those are clear. Those are absolutely clear. Those forms of shirk are absolutely clear. So the people that perform them are less. But when it comes to the affair of dua, this is something that people say, but I'm not prostrating. I'm not bowing. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just supplicating. So because of that, it was mentioned by the ulama from the time of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, they have a book called Adurr al-Sinniya. Adurr al-Sinniya was a book authored by, or was compiled from the time of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab to, you know, until the latter, you know, the more recent times, all of the ulama in al-Mumlakat al-Arabiyyat al-Saudiyah who are upon Tawheed, from Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, the grandchildren of Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, their students, the likes. They compiled a book called Adurr al-Sinniya. In that book, he said, "من أعظم أنواعه," meaning from the greatest forms of shirk, وأكثره وقوعا في هذه الأزمان, and that which takes place abundantly in our times, in this time, طلب الحوائج من الموتى والاستغاثة بهم والتوجه إليهم. He said, from that which is abundantly takes place in our time is seeking from the dead. طلب من الموتى, طلب قضاء الحوائج من الموتى, seeking from the dead. How do they seek from the dead? By supplicating to them. And if you were to read some of the books which have been written exposing the likes of Tablighi Jama'at, exposing the likes of the Sufiya. Just those two groups. Let's just talk about Tablighi Jama'at and the Sufiya. If you were to read some of their books, you would find out that which has occurred amongst them the most in terms of shirk is dua, supplicating to the dead. Individuals saying they've gone to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were very hungry, so they raised their hand and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm hungry," and the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out and gave them a piece of bread. You find this in their books. And you know, you had and this was mentioned by either Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan or Sheikh Abdulaziz al-Sheikh, that an individual was in Egypt and you know it's individuals in Egypt and he got into a taxi and the cab driver said, you know, "Do you supplicate, you know, something to this effect? Do you supplicate to Sayyid al-Badawi?" He goes, "No, because Sayyid al-Badawi does not benefit us." He goes, "No, I ask you by Sayyid al-Badawi. Don't ask by Sayyid al-Badawi. Ask by Allah." This was the student that was, or the individual upon Tawheed was in the cab. "Don't ask by Sayyid al-Badawi. Ask by Allah." And he goes, "No, the cab driver became scared. "No, how can you speak so ill about Sayyid al-Badawi? No, we don't put our trust in Sayyid al-Badawi. We put our trust in Allah." Then finally they reached their destination and the person upon Tawheed said to the cab driver, "See, we arrived at our destination. Sayyid al-Badawi has done nothing to us. You know, I'm responding, I'm refuting him. I'm saying we call on Allah, we don't call on Sayyid al-Badawi." So he said to the cab driver, "See, we've arrived at our destination." The cab driver said, "Indeed, Sayyid al-Badawi is very generous. And he showed us mercy. He did not punish us. He showed us mercy." So that which they mention is true. That which takes place the most is, in terms of shirk,
or one of the forms of shirk which takes place the most is calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, so in that regard, for regards to the issue of dua, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned that من أنواع العبادة الدعاء. Dua is from the forms of worship. بدأ به لأنه أعظم أنواع العبادة. And the author has mentioned it first because it is the most, it is the greatest form of worship. The greatest form of worship is dua. Somebody said, but salat is the greatest form of worship. And salat, you make dua. Salat is dua. Did not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Hadith al-Qudsi? Anyway, we're basically explaining the statement of Sheikh Salim Fawzan that dua is the greatest form of worship. Now somebody said, but I thought salat is the greatest form of worship. Okay, salat. Salat is dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jalla said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, قَسَمْتُ صَلَاتِي قَسَمْتُ صَلَاتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. I have divided the salat between me and between my servant. When the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, my servant has praised me. My servant has glorified me all the way until he says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. My servant knows that he has a Lord. He says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we worship you. My servant has acknowledged we worship you. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, and we seek your help. Then Allah says, now this is the portion of this is for me, and a portion of this is for my servant. When the servant says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, verily we worship you. This is for my servant. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, we seek your assistance. Now, what is the servant doing? The servant is calling on Allah. اِهْدِينَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ, this is for my servant, and my servant would have that which he requested. اِهْدِينَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is a dua. Guide us to the straight path. The path of those who you have blessed, not the path of those who have incurred your anger, no, those who have gone astray. So Al-Fatiha is dua. Al-Fatiha is dua. So the reality is Salat is dua. Naam. What dua al-qismain, Shaykh Salah Fawzan says, and dua are two forms. Dua al-ibadah wa dua al-mas'ala. They're two forms of worship. They're two forms of dua. They're two forms of supplication. The supplication which is worship, you are mentioning something and you're worshiping Allah by way of it, and the dua of mas'ala, and dua that you're seeking something. So, وَالدُّعَى الْعِبَادَةُ هُوَ الثَّنَاءُ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The dua, and that's why when you translate it into the English language, you lose some of the meaning. The dua is that you're calling on Allah in worship. What does that mean? That means that you're praising Allah. هُوَ ثَنَاءُ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى كَمَا أَوَّلِ الْفَاتِحَةِ, meaning, like in the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. This is a dua. All praise be to Allah. So you are glorifying Allah, you're praising Allah. That is a form of dua. And then he said, هَذَا كُلُّهُ دُعَى الْعِبَادَةِ, all of this is the calling on Allah by way of worship. Then he says, وَالدُعَى الْمَسْأَلَةِ, and the dua in terms of supplication, هُوَ طَلَبُ شَيْءٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, this is that you're seeking something from Allah عز وجل. This is that you're seeking something from Allah عز وجل. So dua is of two forms. Dua is two forms. One is the dua which is worship, and that is that you're praising Allah, that you're glorifying Allah. And dua at-talab. Dua at-talab is that you're seeking something from Allah عز وجل. Now, so he mentions the issue of dua and the different verses of the Quran. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدُعُونِ أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and Surah Ghafir, your Lord says, call on me and I will answer you. Likewise, the statement of Allah, وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْحَانَ لَهُ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِهُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayat 117. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, and whoever calls on Allah, or whoever calls on with Allah another deity, and he has no proof in doing so, verily his reckoning is with Allah. Verily the disbelievers will not be successful. So how did Allah describe them? Those who perform that action, verily the disbelievers. So they're disbelievers. So we have the statement of Allah in Surah Ghafir, the 60th verse. Likewise, the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 117th verse. So all of these are, so the dua is of two categories, dua, which is worship, and dua, which is supplication. Na'am. And then he says, فَالنَّاسُ أَقْسَامُ الثَّلَاثِ. And people are three categories when it comes to dua. مَنْ لَا يَدْعُ اللَّهَ أَصْلًا. Those who do not worship Allah, those who do not call on Allah at all. فَيَكُونُ مُسْتَكْبِرًا عَنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And he is someone who's prideful. He doesn't call on Allah at all. Like the atheists. They don't call on Allah at all, except when it's time for death. Except when it's time for death. Death, as Allah mentioned about Fir'aun. الثاني, من يدعو الله ولكن يدعو معه غيره فيكون مشركا. The third is the person who worships, who supplicates to Allah, but he supplicates to others than Allah as well. So he is what? He is a mushrik. The third, من يدعو الله مخلصا له الدعاء فهذا هو الموحد. The third is the person who worships, or who, the person who supplicates to Allah sincerely and only to Allah. This individual is a person upon Tawheed. And then the author mentioned al-du'a, mukhul ibadah. The du'a is the core of worship, and the correct narration is al-du'a huwa al-ibadah. The correct narration is al-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Going on to the next form of worship, and that is al-khawf. والدليل الخوف, and the proof for fear, قوله تعالى, إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. Verily, that is the shaitan. He is making his awliya, his close friends and companions. He is inciting fear inside of them. So do not fear them. Fear me if you are true believers. If you are true believers. And khawf, the ulama mentioned, khawf is a form of ibadah. Khawf is a form of ibadah. And it is of two types. The khawf, which is ibadah, which is a form of worship, and the khawf, which is tabi'i, which is natural. And now al-awwal, the first category, khawf al-ibadah, هذا صرفه لغير الله شك وذلك بأن يخاف غير الله فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله. The first form of fear is the fear which is considered from worship. And this type of fear, if it is directed to other than Allah, it is considered shirk. It is considered shirk. But he says that you fear an individual with regards to something that only Allah can bring about. That you fear from a thing or from an individual, that which only Allah can bring about. That is the fear of worship. That is the fear which is considered from the categories of worship. What does one mean by that? And he mentions, كَأَنْ يَخَافُ أَحَدًا أَنْ يُمْرِضَهُ. For example, you fear that someone would make you sick. أَوْ أَنْ يَقْبِضَ رُوحَ. Or you fear that someone will take your soul. أَوْ يُمِيتَ وَلَدَ. Or you fear that someone will bring death to your child. كَمَا يَفْعَلْ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْجُحَالِ. Like many ignorant people do. All right, let's discuss that. So that it's clear and distinct from the second category of fear, which is the fear of, which is the natural fear, fight. An individual stands in front of a man. An individual stands in front of a man. And the individual says within themselves, within their heart, this man has the ability to kill me without doing anything. This man has the ability to kill me and place me in the hellfire without doing anything. He says, be and it is. Is that a fear of worship, or is that a fear of a natural fear? No, that's not. That's a fear of worship. That's a fear of worship. For you to say that this man can kill me without, just by saying be and it is. And there's some people that are like this. And there's some people that are like this, yes. There's some people that have this fear. That their scholar, their sheikh, their Maulana, they can kill people and place them into the hellfire without doing anything by saying the and it is. They give them the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is fear of worship. But if you have, which is the second category of fear, if you have the fear that this man can grab me and strangle me, then that's a natural fear. He has the ability, and he look at his hands, or this lion that's in front of me. This lion that's in front of me can jump on me and kill me, rip me to shreds, rip me to shreds. So that is a natural fear. Or you fear electricity, you know, so you move your hand away. Or, you know, for example, the blow dryer falls into the bathtub, so you jump out of the bathtub out of fear. That's a natural fear. That's not the fear of worship. The fear of worship is that you fear that someone can do someone or something. You fear that someone or something can do something that only Allah has the ability to do. Like, and we gave that example, that you say, if I don't obey this scholar or this Mawlana or this Hadra, if I don't obey him, he will put me in the hellfire. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Allah is the one that does this. You know, and Sheikh Salah Fawzan mentioned that this is something that many people do. He says, يَخَافُونَ عَلَى حَمْلِ زَوْجَاتِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَوْلَادِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَخَافُونَ مِنَ السِّحْرِ مِنَ السَّحَرَى. This is a mistake that many of the ignorant people do. They fear that the jinn would make my baby die. The jinn would bring physical harm to my child and the likes of this. Sheikh said this is incorrect. The only one who can bring harm to your child in the womb of its mother is Allah Azza wa Jalla. Physical harm, yes. Yani someone can punch, when Audhu Billah, someone can punch her stomach and the likes of that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a person saying, no, you know, the jinn can go inside and affect my child and harm my child and the likes of that. No, this is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This type of fear should not be for the jinn. And this is a weakness in the human. This is the weakness in a human. We should not have that fear. We should put our trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. We should do our azkar. We should do our mu'awwidhat. You know, we should do our azkar. We should do all of that. And we put our trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. We should not fear that the jinn can cause physical harm to our children. We should not have that fear. We should not fear that a sheikh or mawlana can place us in hellfire or the likes of that. That is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam. She says, فَإِذَا خَافَ أَحَدًا فِي شَيْءٍ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَهَذَا شِرْكٌ أَكْبَرٌ. So if you fear something from an individual or a thing, actually, or a thing, if you fear that this rock can save me, or this rock can place me in the hellfire, it's major shirk. So if you fear that anyone can do something which is only specifically for Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is major shirk. لأنه صرف نوعا من أنواع العبادة بغير الله. Because you have turned, or you have given one of the forms of worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. نعم. In that regard, you had from the statements with regards to khawf. You had from the statements of the ulama, رحمه الله تعالى, in that regard. For example, as we mentioned by Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, and this was brought in by Ibn Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin, and this is the importance of this affair of khawf. And before I go into that, actually, the affair of khawf of Allah Azza wa Jalla is tremendous. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَحَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْحَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, يعني, the affair of khawf. And the life of the believer is tremendous. Fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is tremendous. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and whoever, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَحَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْحَوَى. Whoever fears standing in front of his Lord and forbades himself from following his desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. Verily his final abode would be paradise. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ. Allah says, this is for the person. This is for the person who fears standing in front of me and who fears my punishment. So throughout the Quran, Allah talks about the affair of fear and the way of the belief that we should have utmost fear of our Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. And because of that, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-khawfu min Allah yastalzim al-ilm bih, wal-ilmu bihi yastalzim khashyata, wa khashyatuhu tastalzim ta'ata. He said, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, fear from Allah brings about knowledge of Allah. And when you truly fear Allah, the true fear of Allah, this brings about knowledge. You know your Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. You know what He can do. You know how He can punish you. And knowledge of Allah brings about fear of Allah, brings about awe. You have reverence for Allah. And this awe and reverence and fear that you have of Allah, it brings about obedience. It brings about obedience. And that's something, that statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is from his Majmu' al-Fatawa, it's important. Because the reality is, at times we find ourselves weak, and at times we find ourselves falling into deeds, and we wonder why. Because our fear of Allah is very, very minute. Our fear of Allah is very little. And because of that, you had the statement of Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, as was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin. He said, "Ma farq al-khawf qalban illa kharab." That the heart, that fear of Allah does not leave the heart except that the person is destroyed. And it was also mentioned by Ibrahim bin Sufyan, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, إِذَا سَكَنَ الْخَوْفُ الْقُلُوبَ أَحْرَقَ مَوَاضِعَ الشَّهْوَاتِ مِنْهَا وَطَرَدَ الدُّنْيَا عَنْهَا. He said, Ibrahim ibn Sufyan, rahimahullah ta'ala, and this was also mentioned by Ibn Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin. He said, if fear inhabits the heart, it would burn all of the desire. We talk about desires of evil desires. The desires for wealth. The desires for status. The desires for money. The desires for fame. If true fear of Allah Azza wa Jal enters into the heart, it burns out all of the desires. وَطَرَدَ الدُّنْيَا. And it would throw away the dunya. Because you have fear of Allah. You fear standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. So there's no doubt that this affair is tremendous. But with saying that, it's important that you understand that the Salaf, rahimahullah ta'ala, as it was also mentioned by Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Bada' al-Fawa'id, in one of his other books, he says that the Salaf said, "Man abid Allah Ta'ala bin hub wahdahu fahuwa zindiq." Whoever worships Allah with love, it's like he's an apostate, zindiq. Like he's an apostate. I have no fear. I have no fear. Nothing's going to be done to me. So he worships Allah with love. "Waman abidahu bil khawf wahdahu fahuwa hururiyun." And whoever worships Allah with only fear, he's like from the Khawarij. Khawarij, only fear. Everything is a major sin. Everything puts you in hellfire. Any sin you do, it puts you in hellfire. وَمَنْ عَبِدَهُ بِالرَّجَاءِ وَحْدَهُ فَهُوَ مُرْجِي. And whoever worships Allah with hope, he is a murji. The murji, as long as I say, لا إله إلا الله, I'm a believer. Or as long as I feel it in my heart, I'm a believer. Allah will not punish you. Allah will not do anything. No prayer, no this, no that. I'm deficient, but I'm still a believer. And he says, وَمَنْ عَبِدَهُ بِالْحُبِّ وَالْخَوْفِ وَالرَّجَاءِ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And whoever worships Allah with love, fear, and hope, this person is a believer. So we understand we don't only have hope. We don't only have fear of Allah. No, we have fear, and at the same time, we have hope. We have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is that which allows us to abstain from the haram, our fear of Allah, but at the same time we have hope. Because if we only fear, we would despair. If we only fear, we would despair. Fear and hope are like the two wings of a bird. Naam. And so you have this fear. So we said there's the The categories of fear, we said we have the fear of, the fear which is the fear of worship, and you have the fear, which is the fear, which is a natural fear, such as the fear of a lion or the fear of electricity. Some other ulama mentioned a third category, and they said that the fear of showing off. Some, you have some that mentioned the fear of showing off, and that is the type of fear that you leave alone an action of worship, an action which is beloved by Allah, out of fear that people would praise you. And they said this is not legislated. The ulama say that this is not legislated. Naam. This is another fear that some of the ulama have mentioned in their books. Naam. So this is that which was mentioned about the issue of fear. We will go on, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to the next issue. So, al-du'a wal-khawf wal-rada. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, because we've already spent 45 minutes in the lesson, inshallah next week we will continue with al-raja. And hopefully, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week we will do al-raja. والتوكل والرغبة والرحبة والخشوع بإذن الله تعالى. We will try it next week to do four, so we can finish the forms of ibadah that the author has mentioned and their proofs and the statements of the ulama of the past and the present with regards to those different forms of ibadat. And inshallah, we can go to the next issue that the author brings in this treatise of Al-Usul al-Thalatha بإذن الله تعالى. Allah knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.